Mark 5:1-20. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again to not send him out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all of the people were amazed.
Shall we pray as we look into God's word together? Father in heaven, we do ask at this time that you would have mercy upon us, that you would open our eyes so that we might see wonderful things from your word by the power of your Holy Spirit and for the beauty and fame of Jesus. Amen. So 25 years ago, Don and his family came from Australia to start a church in Dunedin, and they were there a few years. And what happened, a family started to move around the country, and it got to the point where the church, they decided to close down. So Don had come to Dunedin with his family, and he was committed to serving the Lord, to building the church and having a long ministry there. But it didn't work out. He did his best, but it didn't work out. And so here he was, facing the temptation, well, I've served the Lord, I've spent time sharing about Jesus, and it didn't work out. So he could have stopped doing that. But praise God for me, he didn't. And yeah, 25 years later, I'm here able to share what Jesus has done. But I think for all of us, yes, it's great, isn't it? Every Sunday, meeting with God's people, singing these fantastic hymns and songs, thanking Jesus for what he has done. But the temptation is to leave it here. So when the service finishes at 11:15 or 11:30, we walk out there and we're back into a different world, a different life with family, friends, workmates, neighbours. And so our temptation, like Don, is maybe to keep it to ourselves, to put it in a box. This is our Christian faith for church, for the odd Bible study, and our temptation is not to share what Jesus has done. Now, some of you might think, Jason, you've got the gift of the gab. It's easy for you. Well, just to let you know the context of my upbringing, at the age of 13, I was doing a milk run. And if any of you older ones remember the milk tokens, I was handing them to a lady. And the lady said to me, "Why do you never look up?" I was just too nervous, too shy. And then at the age of 18, my dad said, "Look, you're mucking around at school, go and get a job." And so I had an interview at the BNZ, and I couldn't look the lady in the eye. So I obviously didn't get the job. But for me now, each day, it's still the same challenge and battle. Am I going to share with the different opportunities about the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the most precious person to me? And I think for you, there's all sorts of situations. As I thought about our congregation here at 10 a.m., the people we have, everyone here is a different personality. Maybe some of you are naturally shy. It's just the way you're wired. Others are struggling with family difficulties, health. Or some of us are just too busy. Yes, we'll talk about Jesus and be committed at another time. But at the moment, we've got stuff going on. And so each of us have different temptations and different obstacles that stop us telling about the fame and the amazing work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. I think this passage here will help us as we start this new year as a group of God's people in Marihau, in Christchurch, wherever we are, to tell about the glory and fame of Jesus. So let's keep your Bibles open if you've got them, and we'll work our way through the passage. Verses 1 to 5, here we find out about the man's condition. He's a helpless and he's a hopeless man. You could actually describe him as a bit of a madman. He's a maniac. He breaks the chains. I don't know who the strongest person here today is. Maybe Joe at the back or Cam, Andy, I don't know. But you would not be strong enough to hold this man down. He's a man out of control. So he's hopeless and he's helpless. What's his future? He's got none. What hope has he got? He's got none. Who can help him get out of this condition? Well, the best people of the day obviously could not. And so we look at this man and we can see he's without hope and he's without God. But do we ever take time out as we're walking in the shopping malls, as we're walking in our neighbourhood, as we're interacting with different people, do we ever take time out and see these people created in God's image, that they are hopeless and helpless without God? They haven't got the ability without God to change their lives. And so the nicest people who are our friends and family, if they don't believe Jesus, they're without hope and they're without God. They've got no future. Well, does Jesus have the authority? It's interesting in the passage before this, and this is why we should read our Bibles, and that's why if you get the opportunity to do courses like Equip or the Tim course, how the Bible connects together. In the passage before this one, we see a storm. And in that storm, there's, so verses 35 to 41 of chapter 4. In this storm, here's the fishermen, the disciples of Jesus, in a lake they know, and they're petrified, they're terrified. They think this is the end. And here's Jesus sound asleep in a boat. And they wake Jesus up, and Jesus says to this massive storm, "Quiet, be still." And the storm was. Those of us who know, who have been Christians for a while, know this story well. But what a reminder, Jesus has power over the natural world. But this is a different situation with this man. This is the supernatural world. In verses 6 to 14, we see that evil controls this man. And this man, he sees Jesus from afar in verse 6. And he runs and he falls on his knees. The original word there is worship. The demons that are within this man, they know who Jesus is. They acknowledge this is the Son of God. This is Jesus. And this man asked, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you do not torture me." He's confronted with Jesus, and he's aware of who he is with all these demons. "What have you to do with me?" We're poles apart. Here is Jesus then, having come into this Gentile region, and this man, he is aware, it's obvious who he is, but he's aware of who Jesus is as well. And so, have you come to that place, to the point that you're confronted with the reality of Jesus, that he is God? "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Well, how does Jesus answer the name? Well, it's interesting with my new role. I'm seeing, thankfully, after 4 years out of the industry, most of the customers have stayed the same. But I'm also visiting health food stores. And there's this one, I don't know if any of you ever have trouble with names. Well, Brett and Brent is the one for me. So here I go, this health food store, and the first time I meet him, I'd ask someone, "What was his name?" And Brett, and all the way in, "Brett, Brett, Brett." And then I said, "Hi, Brent." And then the same with the health food store, talking about his business. Okay, I cannot say it's a pharmacy. It's a health food store, health food store. And stuff it. Again, I said, "And how are you looking forward with business-wise with your pharmacy?" And yeah, so I've got a lot of work with that customer now because of his name and all that means to him. And so here, Jesus asks this man, he cares enough, "What is your name?" And what does the man reply? "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he means many. A Roman legion of soldiers at that time was 6,000 men. So this man is possessed by all these demons. We don't know how many exactly, but there's many. Could be thousands. Evil controls this man. And as you read the Gospels about Jesus, there's demons everywhere. It seems as though things have ramped up because God has come down. Jesus is there. However, we see from this passage that the demons that control this man, they know they're powerless to Jesus and want to continue to run wild and cause havoc. So note what Jesus does. He gives them permission to go into the pigs. And so here the demons are unleashed on these 2,000 pigs and they race out of control into the sea. We see here the power of the demons are limited. And we see here Jesus going to the heart of a person's condition and fixing it. This man experienced that reality. And so I ask, have you experienced that? And do you keep experiencing that day in, day out, remembering what Jesus has done for you? So what is the people's response? The people, like in Christchurch, if something significant happened, word would be out on the street, people would be telling one another, people would be aware of what has happened. Well, the man was healed, in verses 14 to 17, the man was healed and they were afraid. And they want Jesus to leave them. They, in fact, plead with him. We don't need you. Please leave. Our livelihood, what we've worked hard for, is at stake. And we've never seen anything like this. Your power to change people. We don't understand it. We don't need you. We're happy with where we're at. We want to carry on as we are. Well, John Piper's got an interesting quote. And he says, "What amazes me again and again is that when I look into contemporary American cultural life, the most awesome, stunning, frightening reality is the thoroughgoing insignificance of God." So what is he saying? When he looks into American life, God is not significant. He means nothing. He's been made like man. And then he goes on to say, "And when I look into the New Testament, the most awesome, stunning, frightening thing is that God is everything." And so that's our challenge this morning as we start a new year. Is God everything for you? Is the Lord Jesus Christ awesome, stunning, to be respected and feared, but also your friend, the lover of your soul? And we need to take a look as a church and as individuals where we're at. Because if people were to look at our lives, would they see church as a significant priority? God's people, being committed to reading and prayer? Well, what is the man's response to being healed? Well, look at verse 15. What an amazing thing. And some of you may have experienced a similar thing when the Lord Jesus healed you of your sins and the guilt by dying on the cross for you. Look at this man. He's helped and he's in his right mind. For some of you, a fear of death might have been a big thing and may still be. Here's this man in his right mind. He doesn't fear anything. He's got hope. And he's got God. Imagine, here's a tormented man used to roaming around, ranting and raving, cutting himself with stones. Here he is, he's sitting in his right mind. He knows God. He's experienced personally God's help and God's hope. What does the man do? He wants to spend time with Jesus. He pleads with Jesus. As Jesus is getting in the boat to depart, "I want to be with you, Lord. I want to hang with you. I want to go where you go. I want to be with you." What's Jesus' response? He tells him, "No. No, you're not going with me. You go." So no, but that's not the end of the line. You go. You go home and tell your friends what great things the Lord has done for you. And how he had mercy on you. He has helped the man and gives him hope, and he tells him to go. Do you know, Jesus has not changed. This is a couple of thousand years ago. Still the same Jesus. The man with the legion of demons, I think I'd call him legion now. So when I meet him in heaven, I'll say, you're a legion. Because you went, you did what Jesus said. You did go and tell what great things he had done for you. And we need wisdom, of course we do. And there's helpful materials out there, like Honest Evangelism by Rico Tice. But we need to go and tell. That's our responsibility. If you think mercy, the mercy of God, is a small thing, keep it to yourself. Don't tell people. Don't live as if it makes a difference, if you think mercy is a small thing. But if it means everything to you, what Jesus has done for you, it will show and tell. It was really sad last year. A Christian friend was ministering to an older Christian man who was dying. And he shared with me the biggest regret this man dying had. Lovely Christian man too, but his biggest regret was he did not tell people about Jesus. And so it doesn't matter what age or stage of life we're at. The actual natural thing, because we have the life of God in us, is to tell people about Jesus. What about Jesus' strategy? The man, and here at St. John's, we love the word of God and people being trained and equipped. But look at this strategy. It's go and tell your friends straight away. And each and every one of us has a part to play. And you might like to start with 3-2-1. Pray for 3 people twice a day for 1 minute. And of course, one thing you do when you prepare God's word is that you've actually got to be practicing what you preach. And so it's a challenge. And one of the people brought to mind, I just can't see how God can change that person. But he can, because he changed this man's life. Look at the response in verse 20. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Please think about ways that people would be amazed, will be amazed at what God's doing in your life. Don't make it boring, unattractive, dull. We're after changed lives. And I think sometimes we forget, and we need to be encouraged also. God has changed many lives over the last year and years in St. John's. So yes, I've had the privilege of doing the community work, and 8 people have confessed, and as far as I can tell, are persevering and believing and trusting in Jesus. But let's multiply that, even in this room. And many of you have come here to St. John's. Maybe you had an invite to CE, or one of your friends invited you to church. Maybe you went to a coffee evening and you heard a message about Jesus, and now you're part of God's family. But be encouraged. God is changing lives. And we have this opportunity to be part of that. Look at our mission statement. Every week, a It's in our bulletins that handed out at the door. What's our aim as a church? To make disciples, to reach our neighbourhood and city by loving Jesus' people, and loving Jesus' world. So we are an interesting church in the sense that we have people that come from further away, Prebbleton and out Rangiora, and maybe even further, Amberley. But people come because they love the Word of God and meeting with people who love the Word of God. So we have that wonderful aspect. We can reach so many different kinds of people. But we also, God has placed us for whatever reason, well, we know it's to tell the gospel in Marihau. So we're at both ends. Let's go and tell people what great things he has done for us. Amen. I'll just leave you 30 seconds to think about some people and maybe pray for them, and then we'll close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for every person here this morning that has been touched by your mercy, who has experienced your mercy. And Lord, forgive us by the way we've lived our lives that we haven't shown to others how great Jesus is and the great things you have done for us in him. But thank you, we can forget about what's behind and press on. And so with the people that you've brought into our lives, we know not by chance, those difficult family members, those awkward work colleagues, which sometimes we can be them, we know it's not by chance. And so we pray this year you would help us to be like this man. He just went out and told what you had done for him and trusted you, and people marveled. Lord, we long for this community. We long for Christchurch. We long that people would marvel at Jesus. Do your work and be pleased to use each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.